The title of the message today is Live in Truth. Live in Truth. Truth, man, truth is everything to God. In fact, truth is so important that Jesus himself identifies as truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so God intends for his people to live in truth. How many of you recognize that we live in a world and we live in a culture right now? Our whole entire culture, much of it is based on lies. And there are people who are masters of lying. And so, you know, from the time our kids get sent to school at an early age, they're being lied to. From the time they get sent to school at a very early age, they begin to be taught that pretty much that God does not exist. Now, they don't say it that way. They just use this thing called evolution to teach that God does not exist and to teach that God's word is not true because it didn't happen the way the Bible said it happened. It happened the way we say it happened, according to our science. And so, by the way, anybody that is willing to actually search out the truth in science will actually come to the conclusion that God created the earth just like the Bible said, and it happened right at the same time God said it would happen the way he said it would happen. And so, but understand that our politics, everything around us, the news media, everything around us is fueled by lies, not by truth. And so God's word is truth. God himself is truth personified. And so it's important that we as the body of Christ live in truth. How many of you would agree? How many of you think I'm telling the truth? All right, good. I'm glad you do. And this is really based on the fact that Jesus commands his people to keep our word. How many of you know your word is the most valuable thing you have? If a person can't trust your word, they can't trust you, right? And so this is going to be a very, very practical message that we're going to be doing here over the next couple of weeks. But I do believe that Jesus wants us to keep our word. And, you know, I'm reminded many, many years ago, I saw a movie. It was called Peace Child. Has anyone here ever seen that movie? It was a Christian movie that was made many years ago about some missionaries that had gone into an area where the people were cannibals. And, you know, there were tribes that were fighting each other. And they went in to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. But after giving the gospel story, having the opportunity to share the gospel story, they got a strange, really strange response. As they were telling the story, and they got to the part about where Judas betrayed Jesus, they began to cheer. They got to the part where Judas, you know, was being deceptive and so on. And they begin to cheer. And they realized that in the story, they didn't see Jesus as the hero. They saw Judas as the hero because their entire culture was built on deception. And to them, a great man was a man who could deceive the best. The person they looked up to was the one who could use deception the best, because they used deception to lure their enemies in so that they could kill them and do what they do. And so this missionary said, I'd never even thought that something like that would be the case here. But he learned something, and it was a whole entire culture change that had to take place to get them to actually embrace the gospel for what it really is, where Jesus is the hero and not Judas. And in our culture, can I tell you that in our culture, by and large, Judas is the hero. How many of you think I'm telling the truth? All right, good. I'm glad. In our culture, he who can deceive the most receives the most power. And so, but God has called us to keep our word, to live in truth, to embrace truth, to treasure truth, because in doing that, we're treasuring him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37 is where we're going to start. And of course, you know, we know that the, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is actually, we could say, don't lie, but it's really the ninth commandment that talks about not bearing false witness. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37 says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great God. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. And he's talking about naturally. He's not talking about hair dye. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, how many of you, like me, grew up and it was just normal, common, that when we really wanted somebody to believe us, we would say, I promise. Or some people would say, I swear to this or that, many times to God, right? Those are things that we hear and we heard in our culture. And if we really want people to believe us, then we think we have to reinforce it with all these extra words about, I promise. I'm telling you the truth. No, really. Why is that? Because we're so used to people lying, and our culture is so just completely saturated in lies that we feel many times that we have to really emphasize the fact that we're telling the truth so people will believe us. And so Jesus was not talking about a legal oath here like they do in a court when somebody steps into a political office. He was talking about living in truth. He was talking about truth as a lifestyle. You should never say, I swear or I promise for someone to believe you. People ought to be able to believe us just simply because we said it. And so that's why he said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so again, when Jesus was giving his commands and teaching his disciples, he was basically, when he was talking about moral issues, he was basically taking the Ten Commandments and he was expanding them out to what they were supposed to be. I've always said that, you know, when you're looking at God's commands, it's kind of like concentrated orange juice. And the more you pour water into it, the bigger that thing gets. It just expands. And that little bitty old can turns into, you know, big old jug of juice. And so God always intended for us to meditate on his word. In fact, the scripture says the law, and he's talking about his commands at that time, that we meditate on it day and night. Why? Because you can't just, you know, look at it and think you got it. No, you meditate on what he said and why he said it and how that applies to my life and every area of my life. And as you're meditating on what God said, that thing begins to expand and you realize that it affects every area of your life and you had no idea. And so Jesus is expanding on that as he's teaching his disciples, and he's expanding on that original commandment of you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor in Exodus 20, verse 16. So in other words, what he's saying is don't lie about people. Don't lie about people. This commandment has to do with controlling our tongue. Now, how many of you found out that sometimes controlling your tongue is the hardest thing? I mean, the book of James talks about we tame all kind of animals. Man, I've seen people tame everything from, you know, not just horses or cows, but lions, tigers, alligators. I mean, I've seen people tame just about anything and everything you can imagine. But man, to tame the tongue, that's a whole different thing. To get that thing under control. That's why the scripture says, James says, if you control the tongue, you control the whole body. That's one of the reasons why people say, well, this, you know, talking in tongues and praying in tongues and all that just doesn't make any sense. Why would God do something like that? Because it's a way that God gets you to yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Because if you can yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit, then he can control the rest of you. As long as we stay in control and say what we want to say, when we want to say it, and I'm an American and I'm free, I can say whatever I want. You know, and we have that kind of idea about us, we're not going to live in the truth that God wants us to live in. So this commandment, again, it has to do with controlling the tongue. It's very important, but it's an extremely difficult task. Is there anybody else in this room that has ever said something, and while it was coming out of your mouth, you realized, I should not be saying this, but it's too late? Got any married folk in here? You all know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, I could be in my mind. I hear something rolling. I hear it rolling and I hear the Spirit saying, don't you say that. And before I even know it, I spit it out. I know I'm not the only one in this room. So a lot of people don't realize the awesome destructive power of the human tongue. The Bible tells us that the tongue can either give life or death. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And so because of a misspoken word, homes have been splintered, reputations have been shattered, lives literally destroyed and even ended because of words. And so everyone ought to do a word study on the tongue in Scripture. You ought to just check it out. Go through the Scripture, do a word study on the word tongue. The Bible has a whole lot to say about it. And, you know, it's that little piece of muscle. It lies right there in your mouth, behind your lips and behind your teeth. And that thing can either bless you or bruise you. It can either heal you or hurt you. It can love or it can lie. It can bring forth life or it can bring forth death. And I find that sometimes when people feel powerless physically, they can put a whipping on somebody with that tongue. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I've seen little bitty women about this tall absolutely destroy men about this tall with that little tongue, a weapon. And I've seen men absolutely destroy their wives with their tongue, using it as a weapon. And so, again, Proverbs 18:21, in case you thought I was lying a while ago about this, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." It all depends on how you use it. Proverbs 15:14, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." You know, I was talking to someone yesterday about, we were just talking about different people, witnessing to different people, and I was telling them a story about how back in San Antonio when I was in college and we were street witnessing and we had this guy who was a Satanist and he began to follow us and he was just enthralled by us. And we noticed he would follow us and he would watch us. And then he came up and he began to talk to us and we began to try to, you know, witness to him and all. But he had questions for us and he began to tell us about his lifestyle as a Satanist. Now, when I say a Satanist, I'm talking about this guy was all in. I mean, all the horrific stuff that you hear about Satanism and you don't really hear a whole lot about it anymore. But he was in all of that, including taking the lives of babies and everything else, okay, for sacrifices to Satan. That stuff was real. And so this guy, he wanted out of that. He said, I don't want to live that kind of life anymore. I don't know how to get out. You know, there's a hit out on my life, you know, because you get in there, they don't want you out. And so, but we asked him, well, why are you speaking to us? Why do you trust us? Because he said, I don't trust anybody. And he said, I see that you're real. He said, I've had other people come and try to tell me about Jesus. And he said they had absolutely no power in their life. He said, I could tell that they were just doing it because this is what they were supposed to do. But there was no power in their life. And he said, I have no fear of people like that whatsoever. He said, but you and your guys, he said, you scare me. And what he meant by that is, it's that the demonic powers that had been operating in his life knew that they were coming up against something that was genuine, that was real. And so, and eventually we were able to lead that guy to the Lord. But he, you know, just kind of shared with us some of the mindset and the things that had him so trapped in this ideology of Satanism and so on and so forth. And so the guy I was talking to yesterday said, well, you know, are they... You know, do people like that, like, really look to go out and do harm to Christians? Like, do they try to go out and just harm them? And say, no. What I was told was what they do is they get their greatest joy out of deceit. So they're not looking to just go out and beat up on Christians. No, they want to go and deceive Christians and draw Christians into their way of lifestyle. But it's all by deception, okay? And so the enemy is the deceiver. The Bible calls Satan himself a deceiver. And then Jesus, just the opposite, Jesus is the truth. And so the enemy works by deceit, and he's sneaky, and he's good at it. And so, again, we have to understand that the enemy, it says, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. When we are allowing our tongue to be used in a deceitful way, then we are simply operating according to the spirit of the age and Satan himself and operating the way Satan's people operate. How many of you know God is not interested in us trying to spread the gospel through deceit? But yet there's a lot of that going on. So James tells us that the tongue can be tamed by no man. James 3, 7 and 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, he's talking about the tongue that has not yet been submitted or yielded to Christ, right? How many of you ever been struck by a tongue? Anybody ever been hit by that thing? Ever been stabbed by a tongue? By you know, everybody, you know, somebody around you that has used that thing against you to harm you, to hurt you, to slander you. Now, how many of you in this room have ever used it the wrong way yourself? Absolutely. But Jesus reminds us that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. Amen. So there's absolutely no excuse for a reputation assassination with your tongue. Psalm 34:13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Now, again, this all ties into what we're talking about today and next week about living in truth. If we are willing to lie, and most people lie to get themselves out of trouble. I mean, they'll lie in a heartbeat to get themselves out of trouble, right? But if we're just willingly going to lie and in some kind of way justify that, we are of the wrong spirit. Kids, your parents ask you a question and you lie to them because you want to get out of trouble. I'm telling you, even at a young age, understand you're of the wrong spirit. You're allowing a demonic influence to lead your life when you do that. So the ninth commandment deals primarily with a person's testimony at a trial setting, but this scripture lets us know that God just hates lying, period. Now let's look at Revelation 21, verse 8, and we're going to actually be wrapping this up real quick here. But Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, but the cowardly, it is the Greek word dilos or delos, and what that means is someone who will not stand for truth. Someone who is faithless, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts and idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So this is important to understand that he lists all liars right at the end. He says, and all liars. That's not a separate category from all the things that he had just said. Because how many of you know that if you're going to be a part or live or indulge in any of those other sins that he just listed, it's because you are a liar. Can I tell you that a person who will not stand for the truth, and that's what he means by cowardly here. Okay, he's not talking about a person who doesn't like to MMA fight. You know, he's talking about a person who will not stand for truth. They're faithless. And the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts and idolaters. All of those happen. All people become all of those things and do all of those things basically because they embrace lies. Romans tells us that when he's talking about sexual immorality and idolatry and all, Romans chapter 1 tells us that they have suppressed the truth to believe a lie. How many of you know sometimes we would rather hear a lie than to hear the truth? Because the lie can make us feel good. Sometimes the truth hurts. Anybody discover that? How many of you husbands and wives, you know, you don't want your husband or your wife to lie to you most of the time. Unless maybe she says, well, does my hair look good? Or does this dress look good? Or does this make me look fat? Oh, no. Mm-mm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we want people to lie to us because it makes us feel better. Remember years ago, we're going to wrap it up with this, but years ago, my wife, she paints, and from time to time, she would get inspired to paint. Maybe some of you have seen the painting she did of me, and she had actually hurt her back, and she was bored, had nothing else to do, and so I went and bought her this little paint easel and canvas and all that, and out of memory, not even looking at me, you know, out of memory, she drew this very accurate picture of me. She painted it. Sitting there with my Bible, and I used to, my Bible, I'd have all these different colored tabs in it, you know, before I started using a tablet and all, and I'm flipping back and forth in the Bible from the scriptures, and, you know, I'd have these little colored, she had all of that painted. It was all perfect. But I did not like that picture. And I'll tell you why. Because she included my double chin in the picture. And I told her, you know, you could have helped me out a little bit. You know, you could have kind of cut that down a little bit. You could have kind of, she said, but then it wouldn't be you. It wouldn't be genuine. What was I asking her to do? I was asking her to lie just a little bit. Help a brother out. Sometimes the lie is easier to take than the truth. Amen. How many of you believe that it's absolutely essential that we embrace the truth and that we live the truth? Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but, you know, nobody needs to look around and try to judge somebody else in this room for this. But how many of you recognize, and we'll get into some very detailed, specific ways that we lie next week, but how many of you recognize that in your own life, that devil's still always tugging at you to try to get you to either believe a lie or to tell a lie or to just, I mean, he never gives up. Why? Because he is the deceiver. So I just want to pray that we begin to really recognize that in our lives, because you know what? We'll never be able to win people of the world if they don't see truth in us. Much of the church is based on a lie today because it's a misrepresentation of Jesus and the gospel. It's a lie.